just for a quick review, in the first week of Advent, we talked about Christ being the light that the darkness can't overcome. Last week, we saw that Jesus was the light of the world. And this week, we see that God is the one in whom there is no darkness. We start today with the Father and then show how this connects with Jesus and then how we should respond. We'll start with the last passage we read, which was from 1 John. And if you heard in verse 5, it said, God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. In the Greek, it's an emphatic negative. There is not any, absolutely no, none, not a smidge of darkness in God. There is no ignorance, no error, no untruthfulness, no sin, and no death. Not only does the darkness fail to overcome Christ, but there's no darkness in God. God is totally light, totally unconflicted. There's no conflict among or within the persons of the Trinity. And God is totally good. We see this in our short passage from James. He tells us that we shouldn't be deceived in thinking that there's anything bad that can come from God, but that everything that is good has its source in the Father. Here, God is described as the Father of lights. It refers to God as creator. He is a source of light and made the lights, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And it is important in the Genesis 1 creation poem that the creation of light is the first thing in creation, and it comes on day one, whereas the creation of the heavenly lights, the planets, the sun, moon, and stars, doesn't happen until day four. Even the plants were created before the sun was created. It's important because light and life have their source in God. We'll talk more about how life, God as life and light, more specifically next week. God is the one who causes all things to grow. Some scientists have found that there is light that exists other than that which emanates from the heavenly bodies. And there are theories to where this light may come from. What is the source of this light? But we know that ultimately it comes from God. In verse 18, we are also described as God's good creation, not only because God made us, but especially because God makes us anew through the word of truth, Jesus Christ. We have been remade through him. The Father is described as the one in whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God doesn't change, nor will God ever renege on God's promises. The Father keeps all of his promises. Yes, indeed, the saying is true. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. God delivers us from shadows and darkness. Particularly, we heard in Luke that God delivers us from the shadow of death. We focused on this a little bit during the first week of Advent, and Zechariah finishes his prophecy with this, that the Christ is coming to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. God delivers us from the shadow of death, not just from the grief of losing loved ones, but God delivers us from our own death, making it merely just a passageway into a new life where we will be clothed in light. In our 1 Timothy passage, God is described as dwelling in inapproachable light. From the Old Testament, we know that no one can see God and live. And even here, Paul says that no one has seen or can see God. So how does this all connect with Jesus? The Father is the one who sent the Son. If all good and perfect gifts come from the Father of lights, then Jesus is the best and most perfect gift of all. The Son also reflects the Father. When Philip asked Jesus to show the disciples the Father just before Jesus was killed, Jesus told Philip, If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. The Father dwells in unapproachable light, but we can approach the Father through Jesus Christ, so much so that we can now come boldly before the throne of grace. K.S. Woost uses this illustration: the eternal, immortal life, which is invisible, was made visible to the human race through the humanity of our Lord. We put light, which is invisible, through a prism, break it up into its component parts, and it becomes visible. The beauty of the life that God is, broken up into its various parts, such as grace, love, humility, kindness, etc., is seen through the prism of the human life of our Lord. In Jesus, we see the Father and we can know the Father. Just as there is no darkness in the Father, there is no darkness in Jesus Christ. Jesus is absolutely pure, without blemish or sin. Jesus is perfect and holy, and he is also only light. The word that we use this time of year is incarnation. It's God putting on flesh and bone, which is what Jesus is, light and love with skin on. We say this in the Nicene Creed, that Jesus is of the same substance as the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Jesus' sinlessness identifies him as a true Messiah, the one whom Zechariah prophesied over John that he would prepare the Messiah's way. But just as Jesus is very God, Jesus is also very human. He needed to be made like us so that we can be made like him. It is not insignificant that Jesus came as a baby. He was frail and needy, just as we are. He experienced growth and learning. He was someone that John and many other people actually knew and saw and heard and touched, both before and after the resurrection. He was tried and suffered at the hands of Pontius Pilate. Part of Jesus' perfection is that he lived fully into his humanity, totally depending on the Father for everything. Not only did he show us how to live, but he was the perfect sacrifice on our behalf. The one who owns immortality, the one who was immortal from the beginning, became mortal and suffered death. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus gave us life. John tells us that he and others wrote about Jesus so that our joy might be full. On this third Sunday of Advent, you heard Polly and Albert say that we lit the candle of joy today. Joy is in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, that he was a real living person whose blood cleanses us from all sin. Christ is the center of our joy. Robert Jameson says that joy is the fruit of faith in Christ. Jesus is the provider of our salvation. He is the word of truth. In Christ, we are in fellowship with God and with other believers. And in this community of fellowship, there is joy. There is joy in serving God and in living in the presence of God. Finally, we see what our response should be to God's great gift in Christ. It's nearly identical to what we looked at last week. I didn't know if you heard that in the 1 Timothy passage compared to the Colossians passage we looked at last week. That we are to live as those who dwell in light. Paul tells us to flee from greed, materialism, false gospel, and divisiveness. Rather, he tells us to pursue or to run towards gentleness, righteousness, godliness, faith, and love. The word gentleness here is only used this one time in the New Testament and comes from root words that imply that this particular gentleness is how we are to respond to suffering for the sake of Jesus Christ. That when others mistreat us because of Jesus, that we are to respond with patience and not aggression and retribution. The peaceful path is part of the light that Christ shines on us. Walking in the light also means like I showed the kids with the candle, that we can't help but be aware of our sinfulness because we start to see those dark places in our lives. Thankfully, Christ is also the answer to this. We confess our sin and find forgiveness in Christ. If we walk in the light, we will have that desire not to sin. And yet, we still live in a Romans 7 world, in the tension of doing the things that we don't want to do and not doing the things that we do want to do, even when our passion is righteousness. At any given moment, we are either living in light or living in darkness. This is why we are commanded to live in the light. We have to be reminded to continually live in the light. And we move between these two spheres, but God never moves. God is only light and is always light. Because God is light, God sees everything. And nothing is hidden from God. And yet God, because of Christ in us, we are not condemned. In Christ is now no condemnation, starts Romans 8. And through the Holy Spirit, we can live in the light. To walk in the light is to maintain that constant fellowship with God. We have been granted an incredible gift in Christ, not only so that we can approach the Father, but that we can actually live in light that was formerly unapproachable. We can live in communion with God. May you have a passion to live as those who belong to the light and not to the darkness. Let us pray. Great God, we thank you that you are only light. And we thank you that when you shine on us, you don't shine on us to condemn us, but to expose our darkness so that we can repent of it and that we can live again in the light. Thank you for the gift of Jesus, who made the way, the bridge between us and you when we broke fellowship. You restored it through Jesus Christ. Thank you for that incredible gift. May we have a passion to always live in the light. And when we fail to do so, restore us again. Thank you that the opportunities that we have to start over never run out. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn is Great is Thy Faithfulness. Actually, let us stand and affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I'm all out of order this morning.